This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Welcome to it. Watching the forecast now for another big snowstorm coming tomorrow. I'm sure you're aware of this. Basically from, I don't know, Muskegon to Benton Harbor, north of Saginaw Bay, all the way to Toledo, and the heavy bands in the middle, coming right across Grand Rapids, Lansing, Flint, maybe a stretch there of, I don't know, 100 miles wide of what could be fairly heavy snow, maybe 8 inches with wind. You know, the snow that came last week, all that big dump is pretty much gone after temperatures in the mid-50s here last week, so we'll keep an eye on that as we go forward. Now, here in the next hour here on the program, Clark Hodges will be here to talk about how consumers can face an uptick in inflation. Things are getting expensive. What are you going to do to combat it? And then Lisa Durden will be here. She's been with us before. She's an African-American pop culture, political commentator, and civil rights advocate. Is Hollywood whitewashed? Is her question today. She's also going to explain to us how she said the last time she was here that Lincoln owned slaves. She did. I didn't make that up. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We've got the tape. We'll ask her. We'll get her input on that. So Lincoln owned slaves, you know. So we'll ask our progressive friend how she arrives at that conclusion. We'll probably also get a chance to ask her about, you know, the desire to tie Donald Trump now to the Ku Klux Klan, which is revolting, frankly, but it's what's going on. And the question is, how desperate are the establishment Republicans, the establishment media, and Democrats themselves to rid themselves of the idea that Donald Trump might not only be the Republican nominee for president, but some believe could be the 45th president? They've gone so far to link him, the billionaire, to the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what's going on when adults actually grab a hold of a nonsensical notion about a discredited Klansman that hasn't been in the news for some 25 years just to smear the GOP frontrunner? During a press event last Friday, a reporter point-blanked Trump about being endorsed by former Klan leader and Louisiana Republican David Duke. Trump clearly had no idea what the reporter was asking or talking about, but didn't hesitate in saying, "I disavow it, okay," and waved him off. I watched it happen. Ivy and I watched him shoot down the ridiculous question. We were sitting there together watching the little clip on TVs. You know, we've got this stuff in the background all the time. Caught my attention. We both saw it happen. Without blinking an eye, he dismissed it as utter nonsense. But did it go away for the weekend? Of course not. Now why would it? In fact, he got hamstringed a little bit on Jake Tapper's State of the Union on CNN. Trump saying, I don't even understand what this is about. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what you're talking about white supremacy. In fact, we should just hear it. It's clip 5. Here is Donald Trump on CNN asking about an Anti-Defamation League's call for the presidential candidate to disavow support from David Duke and other white supremacists. Go.
I want to ask you about the Anti-Defamation League, which this week called on you to publicly condemn unequivocally the racism of former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, who recently said that voting against you at this point would be treason to your heritage. Will you unequivocally condemn David Duke and say that you don't want his vote or that of other white supremacists in this election?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on? Because, you know, I know nothing about David Duke. I know nothing about white supremacists. And so you're asking me a question that I'm supposed to be talking about people that I know nothing about.
But I guess the question from the Anti-Defamation League is, even if you don't know about their endorsement, there are these groups and individuals endorsing you. Would you just say, unequivocally you condemn them and you don't want their support?
Well, I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know.
Okay. I mean, I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here, but...
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know David Duke. I don't believe I've ever met him. I'm pretty sure I didn't meet him. And I just don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I don't know anything about him. Yeah. Here's the thing. I would be shocked, as would you, if you're a thinking person in 2016, to believe that Donald Trump has any sympathy, empathy, or connection to the Ku Klux Klan or any other such organization that openly advocates the hatred of blacks or Jews or those of other cultures. I just, come on. This is where we've gotten ourselves into it, and this is why people are just so sick of it. But apparently, Donald Trump, you know, saying that he disavowed it on Friday and saying he doesn't know what this is all about, wasn't good enough for Ted Cruz. He tweeted out, really sad, Donald Trump, you're better than this. We should all agree racism is wrong. KKK is abhorrent. I'm not sure that's what he was asked, but okay. And then Marco Rubio, of course, desperate to find something to hang his hat on, said this, we cannot be a party that nominates someone who refuses to condemn white supremacists and the Ku Klux Klan. And then went on to say, not only is that wrong, it makes him unelectable. I would suggest that Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are pretty well lying. And they know it. They don't believe that Donald Trump has any connection to the Ku Klux Klan or sympathy for the Ku Klux Klan. I don't believe the Klan, for God's sake. What are there, like 25 of them left in the country? We're talking about a group that is the fringe of the fringe. Seriously. We're talking about a group that's the fringe of the fringe. And David Duke left office as a congressman, run out of office in 1993. So I would suggest that Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are lying about this whole thing. And doing so, it puts them in the same league as the Democratic frontrunner, which makes them unelectable. I mean, clean up your act, guys. It is the kind of straightforward Washington insider lying that makes so many Americans enraged. It's the kind of business-as-usual BS, you know, besmirch somebody, smear somebody, throw something on them. You know it's not true, but hey, we've got an election to win. It doesn't matter. You got to get out there. You got to get down in the gutter with them, roll around a little bit, get them dirty. That's where you're going to win. Okay. Negative ads I get. Hard campaigning I get. But trying to link Trump to the Klan, I think it's beyond the pale. I do think it's beyond the pale. I think it's too much. And I think that Rubio and Cruz are scared to death about tomorrow's results across the country. Cruz may win in Texas, but that may be his saving grace. I don't know if Rubio wins anywhere tomorrow. I believe Donald Trump will. 14 after, and of course, a week from tomorrow, the Michigan primary, right in the heartland. First heartland primary. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. 18 after, it's Monday. This hour of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education they need. To learn more, go to SaveWithMI529.com. That's SaveWithMI529.com. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen and her colleagues, this from Bloomberg, getting exactly what they wished for, just faster than they expected. The price of goods and services rose in January from December 0.3%. That pushed costs up 1.7% over the past 12 months. They're trying to get to 2%. They say that's the healthy sweet spot for inflation, which I guess I didn't realize there was a sweet spot for inflation. But I'll bet our next guest, Clark Hodges, knew that. He's a financial strategist. Clark, welcome to the program.
I cannot tell a lie. I did not know there was a sweet spot.
I didn't either. I've never heard of such a thing. I remember growing up watching Walter Cronkite tell us about inflation, and I always got the impression it was a bad thing.
Well, and I'm no economist, okay? So I grew up with a father that said you have to beat inflation with your investments, and that's all I know about.
That's right. Yeah, inflation. That's what
you
I was
to
told.
Beat inflation.
And between 1900 and 2000, or, you know, pick a century in there, inflation over a century was about, you know, 3.6, 3.8% per year over 100 years on average. So if we're at 1.7%, you know, I would think that was a good thing because I don't know any better. But I also know that wages have stagnated. So if inflation's going up half of what it has historically over the last century, but wages aren't increasing, I think it would help keep people buoyant. At least that's my idea.
Well, you know, in my opinion, people listening to this right now need to understand what they're saying. Okay, who cares, inflation? But what reality is, you just said, wages are staying flat. Okay, they're not going up as much. So you, as an individual, need to understand that the goods and services that you're buying today, in 5 and 10 years from now, will cost more. The same exact service will cost more. Therefore, as you go through life, you need to have investments that will beat inflation. And you don't necessarily need to judge it on a 1 or 2 year time frame. You need to judge it on a 5 and a 10 year time frame. Because we all know, no matter what the economy is doing today, or what kind of recession we go through, good or bad, you know, and then if we do go into one this year, goods and services are going to cost more today. The car you're driving today is going to cost more in 5 years. The car you're driving today is going to cost more than that in 10 years. So if you plan on buying a car, going on vacation, buying airline tickets, and all that kind of good stuff in the future, you need to have some of your money invested in the market to beat inflation.
Yeah, well, that's right. You want to be in it. So let me ask you about something else about the market, because there are all these things out there, Clark, and I'm sure you see this as much as everybody else. These doom and gloom predictions about the market in 2016. There's going to be this massive correction because there hasn't been a proper correction in longer than it should have been, I suppose. Is that something that concerns you this year?
No, and I don't know what market they've been covering, but let me tell you something. There's been a massive correction. If you look at this market from August until today, there's been a very swift pullback, slow and steady bleed of this market, where you could say there's segments of the market that are in a bear market. Small caps are in a bear market. So having said that, you don't need a market to crash for there to be a pullback or a bear market. A lot of people are waiting for a one-day crash like 1987 or something like that.
Right.
You know, that may not happen. If you remember back in August, I believe it was the 28th, I'm not sure, but we had a stock market that within 3 minutes of opening was down over 1,000 points. That's the kind of thing that goes on nowadays because there's so much computer trading. But you have these flash crashes, and then they recover back up because computers kick in the buy orders. But this has been a bad year, no doubt about it, and it could end up being a good year. I'm very optimistic about that. But I think there's sometimes the market looks forward and sees something down the road it doesn't like, and I could guess what that might be. I don't know. It could be worried about the election. It could be worried about the real economy job numbers, because those are not real, what we're reporting every month. Those are not real numbers. Those are cooked. And so maybe there's going to be something to pay for that.
The jobless numbers are cooked is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Because, you know, something else going back to when I grew up, and I think it was changed in 1996, we always use the U6 numbers for unemployment, which today stand at about 10%, by the way, which is a much more accurate reflection of unemployment in America. It's certainly not 4.9%. Listen, we've got 95 million Americans out of work, not participating in the job force, that are able-bodied and of the proper age. You know, so we know there are 95 million people, Americans, not working, and they want us to believe that we're at 4.9% unemployment. 4% is technically, statistically, full employment. I mean, come on. It's we're being handed a pile of steaming garbage.
No doubt about it. We're being handed that pile. On that issue, we're being handed that pile on the effects of Obamacare. Obamacare is crushing people. It is crushing people. Not only are they paying a penalty like you and I, but it's preventing employers from moving their businesses forward and hiring people. And that is a fact, but yet nobody will report the fact that this is the main ingredient in why the economy's not kicked in. When oil prices are where they are, it's because Obamacare is killing our economy.
United Healthcare lost over $1 billion in 2015, the nation's largest healthcare provider as far as insurance goes. United Healthcare lost $1 billion, more than that, last year alone. How long do they stay in the game? I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
Well, I guarantee you, if a Republican gets elected, the stock market will roar because we all know they're going to repeal Obamacare. At least they say they are, right? Hopefully they do what they do. Once they do that, once a pro-business person gets in there, this the economy will hum. And believe me, you know, this economy will have that, old, I hate to say it because people hate the term, but the trickle-down will work. When you have good businesses and good communities, those communities benefit. Those communities prosper. Their parks are in good shape. Their charities are funded well. It's because their businesses are prospering, making money, and employing people.
Clark Hodges, always a great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Clark Hodges, good friend of the program here for years now. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show, American values with Midwestern common sense.
All right, welcome back to it. A lot of discussion about race these days when it comes to politics in South Carolina. Black voters propelling Hillary Clinton to a big victory over the weekend in the South Carolina primary. But I have never seen so much vitriol and hate coming out of one of the Bernie Sanders supporters on places like Reddit. They're just ugly, angry. About the black voters supporting Hillary. It's a little rough. And then, of course, you got Donald Trump being linked to David Duke, which is bizarre and a farce, I believe. David Duke hasn't been in the news since 1993. But here to join me to talk more about this is Lisa Durden, African-American pop culture political commentator and civil rights advocate. Lisa, you've been on this program before. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I have a question for you, though. We have to clear something up from the last time you were here.
Yes.
You may or may not recall, but the last time you were here, we were talking about symbols of people like Woodrow Wilson and different statues and so forth that maybe should not be removed from campuses because they were, I don't know, reinforcing the idea of racism and so forth and slavery and so forth. But you made the comment here on the program that Abraham Lincoln had owned slaves. So I've been confused about that ever since. I was a little flabbergasted by it, but you said that here on the program, and you must have been mistaken.
You're confused that Abraham Lincoln owned slaves? We're not.
Who's not?
Black folks. We know our history. Abraham Lincoln owned slaves, and don't be confused. Abraham Lincoln also freed the slaves, not because he loved slaves, he loved black folks. Listen, he loved black folks. He freed the slaves because he wanted to win the Civil War, and he needed more bodies. He didn't do it. Oh, there it was, right there.
Abraham Lincoln didn't own any slaves, Lisa. I mean, there's no historical record for that.
Okay, so you want to tell me there's no historical record of slavery back when we didn't have good records, and then I'm supposed to go with what you just said because you don't have any records. So we like paperwork, don't we?
Well, we've got copies of speeches from the 1830s, the 1840s, mm-hmm. the 1850s, mm-hmm. and when president, when he released... with the Emancipation Proclamation, brought slavery to an end after 80 years in America. Yeah, you're the first person, the only person I've ever heard that had the notion that Abraham Lincoln owned slaves.
Okay, well then you heard it here first.
All right, so what is
your... You don't
know
any black.
Well, I'm going to say it's absurd, but what is the foundation?
I'm not going to debate with you about something you want me to present paperwork from that happened 400 years ago or so, because that means... We're going to just have a circular conversation that will end nowhere. I'm making a definitive statement. Abraham Lincoln owned slaves. That's it. Now, if you want me to prove that, then we'll be on here until I get old and die. Because no, it's hard to prove stuff where there's no documentation that you would be satisfied with.
I don't think there's any documentation anybody would be satisfied with.
Blacks are fine. No, you mean white? We're fine with it. We know the facts. All blacks, keep straight, all blacks understand. We know.
You know that.
So all
black people know something that.
Yes, one more 7 minutes.
I'm confused.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I said, is there any source for it? I mean, any document, anything you can point to, anything.
What black folks? That's the guy with it is. Wait, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said, Lisa, is there anything you can point to? He said, black folks know that Abraham Lincoln's owned slaves. Is there any source you can anything you can point to give us any?
Yeah, the source is Lisa, Lincoln owned slaves.
Okay.
This will be a never-ending conversation. We'll never get to the Oscars.
Well, right, but because there's no foundation for it. Okay, so to the Oscars, and there's no historical basis for it, but so be it. All right, so the movie industry is a straight white boys club, according to you and others. Tell me about that.
A white boys club?
Yeah, that's... Are the Oscars racist? Are the Oscars racist?
Yeah, if you gotta ask me that, wow, of course it's racist. Absolutely. Where did you see that? Every year they take a photo of all of the Oscars, of all the nominees. Did you see that photo? It was very telling. They're all white. You see that gigantic photo of all the nominees? Did you see that photo?
It's yes, ma'am.
Photo.
All right.
Okay,
so-
where are people of color of any color? Where are the people of color? Latinos, African Americans, Native Americans, anybody of color, Asians, where are they? Yes, all white. That ain't right.
So what do you think should be, you think there's systemic racism in Hollywood that something should be done about this? I mean,
There's systemic racism in the United States of America and really around the nation.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just stick with America. No, I don't think in a blink of an eye in some monologue that Chris Rock does is going to just all of a sudden dissipate. What I think specifically to the Hollywood issue and the racism that is obviously apparent through the Oscars, they need to do what they're planning on doing, which is kind of diversify the committee. And then what they also need to do is really mean it. So now all of these films that are coming out hire people of color to be writers and directors. Don't get me the direction to tell me. And then you also need to make sure that we have production companies producing our films, and you greenlight those films that are done by people of color, not just African-American people, but people of color in general. But once you have more films coming through there, if you've got, it's a numbers game too. If you got 50 films for the year from white and then one or two black films, even though they blew up, then it's going to be hard for them to see the option. So if you've got an equal number or close to an equal number of films of people of color coming through there, then the committee can see the array of different films from people of color. You can see the array of different directors hired to direct films of color or not. You know, and you can be able to do those kind of things and elect those kind of people.
So you think we need more? Yeah. So should people be nominated solely on their should they be nominated on their ability and their merits, or how should people be nominated?
Well, of course. So let's be real clear: some real bad white films over the 88 years of the Oscars have been nominated.
I'm not talking about 88 years. I'm talking, let's just focus on the last 20.
I'm saying this question is being asked when we're going to be nominated. Well, of course, we don't want anybody nominated who's terrible, but plenty of white folks who've been nominated were terrible. Bad white actors, bad white directors, bad white writers, bad white movies, and some were good. So every white person that has ever won was not necessarily deserving of it. So we can't ask that question now because blacks want to be nominated too, or people of color. Or we want to just give them. We don't want to be given anything. We want to be nominated, equal to whites, up against the competition, just like they're being nominated. That's all. And now let the best person win. Don't ask that question now because we're making an argument that we're not being nominated at all. You're telling me no black films that were out was better than any of the white films? Come on.
Okay, hold that thought right there, Lisa. I'm gonna let you take a break for a second, sort out your business
right
there.
Take a break. Oh, God, my voice is going. No problem.
You'll be fine. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be right back. The phone number is 888-900-9966. I know you're itching. 888-900-9966. Check it out.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Welcome back to it. One last couple of things here on the Oscars. Then I have a couple other questions here for Lisa Durden, African-American pop culture political commentator and civil rights advocate. Lisa, do you know the first African-American to win an Oscar?
Hattie McDaniel, yes.
You got it. Just making sure we're on line with that. You know, there have been a lot of African-Americans nominated and won big awards. Big awards.
A lot?
I don't know. I mean,
really?
Morgan Freeman's one of the best.
What's a lot?
I don't know. Morgan Freeman's a great actor. Cuba Gooding Jr. is a great actor. Samuel Jackson should have won. He got cheated in Pulp Fiction. One of the greatest, you know.
A lot of us got cheated. Angela Bassett got cheated in What's Love Got to Do With It. I mean, the list is long. But let me just tell people something. You know, I love it when white folks say, but you guys have had people, and you just said a lot. I don't think it's been a lot. But I'll just make sure to clarify what I mean by a lot is incorrect. Every single time after the hashtag Oscar So White, white folks said, but you know, they can list the names. If you can list names of African American people who won awards, that's exactly the problem. Can you list every single white person who's gotten an award for 88 years? Can you list them all?
I don't know if I can name five on either side, to be honest with you.
What I'm saying, to say, you just named two or three. You can't even name all the white folks who've gotten awards at the Oscars for 88 years. That goes to show you the disparity. When you can name the blacks, that's the problem. You can name them on one hand.
All right, so let's shift gears for a second. Let me ask you this. When it comes to Super Tuesday tomorrow, a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters are accused. Say that again?
Oh, crap. Yeah. What were you saying?
I said, coming up tomorrow, Super Tuesday, and a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters coming out of South Carolina saying that the black voters are voting against their own self-interest by voting for Hillary Clinton, saying that she is pandering to black votes when the Clintons have done little or nothing to help the black community over their time in office in different times. Who do you support for president, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton?
Well, I'm on the fence, but I was leaning toward Bernie a bit, but I'm still undecided, so I'm going to be watching the debates and reading up on what their platforms happen to be and make that final decision. But I'm liking him more than her. And I will say this about the voting. I'm not dogmatic about voting. I'm not dogmatic about the presidency or policy. But I feel like this. I mean, he's a politician, so he's got to say what he's saying because he's running against the person. But Lisa Durden doesn't feel that a person has to vote for who you want them to vote for whatever reason. So if people want to vote for Donald Trump, I'm not going to get angry because guess what? Those who vote for people who I don't vote for doesn't take my power away from voting. So I go behind that curtain and I vote for who I want. I'm not dogmatic. I'm not going to go, oh, you voted for Donald Trump. I'm not your friend. It doesn't matter to me. We all have the right to vote, and we all need to go in there and do our job. And when the smoke clears, we'll find out who's the president. We'll find out who's nominated to run for the office on both sides, and we'll just see what that does. So I'm thinking that, you know, the black folks who supported her are wrong. That's who they wanted to support. Although I may not support her. I may not.
So is America still a racist place, Lisa? Yeah, I mean, and racist in what way?
Of course it is. Unfortunately, of course it is. However, I do not think it's to the point where, you know, it's hopeless and we can't make any moves toward a better situation for everybody. But I just think if we can honestly admit that without having a war and without individuals feeling like it's an insult to them because we're raising the issue that is a fact, then we will not move forward. People go, well, you know, I've been on many shows. Why are you pushing your blackness on me? A white man told me, why are blacks pushing the word black on them because he doesn't see color? Come on, idiot. You look at me, I'm black. Why is it that I can't even name myself? You're telling me to stop calling myself black? Oh, good.
But didn't America elect a black man to be president? Not once, but twice?
Well, I'm going to just go in the front, yeah.
Didn't America elect a black man twice, back to back?
One black man who was the 44th president of America. 44th president. So in 176 years, we had one black man. Please stop it. In 176 years, we had one black man. Five. We'll probably stand here for another 5 minutes. 176 years, so we have one black man in almost 200 years, and we're going to think that, you know, there's no race issues. The black president even said on a radio interview, he said, just because you don't say the N-word anymore doesn't mean that there's no racism still here. Even he himself said it. So, like stop.
All right.
We get one black president, and all the white folks say, see, we had a black president. Oh, black president. Can you name all of the presidents right now that have been going on for 176 years? No. You probably can think of it if you had a week to think of it, but it's too many of them.
Actually, I can
you
name,
can name one black president.
I can name them all, but that's okay. That's
well,
not important.
I can, but you get the point.
I do. All right, Lisa, I can hear you're busy. I appreciate your time. And
I'm out in the street.
All right, that'll give us something to talk about. Have a great rest of your day, Lisa.
Thank you.
There you have it. Okay. I'm just going to let that digest for a second. Apparently, we've been a country for 176 years, and 400 years ago, Abraham Lincoln owned slaves. I mean, I let her have her piece. Fair enough. Is there racism in America? Sure there is. She's right about that. And she likes Bernie Sanders. But isn't it a little baffling that somebody wants to tell you about history and tell you about their position and how things should be and so forth? Doesn't even know enough about American history to tell you when Lincoln was, you know, in office, or that, you know, we've been a country for a lot more than 176 years. Isn't that a bit disconcerting, to say the least? The phone number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966, and you wonder what we're teaching people. What are we teaching people in general? America's a bad place, and I don't know. Yeah, I just wanted to give you a taste of that. She stands by that Lincoln owned slaves, and I'm rarely shocked to the point of being near speechless, but I'm right close. That was Lisa Durden, African American pop culture political commentator and civil rights advocate, political commentator who doesn't know how long we've been a country. Weird. It's Monday on the Steve Gruber Show. I told you would enjoy it. Or get outraged, or whatever. So Chris from Boyd City asks, is pop culture activist a job? Apparently it is. All right, let's go to Gianni. We have time for a couple of quick phone calls here on the hotline. Gianni's on the hotline. Welcome to it, Gianni.
Hi, good morning. I wish it was still on. I was just curious, what was your definition of a black movie or movie of color? Like, is there a ratio of...
Is there a ratio?
Per movie, or is it the producer that has to be black? I mean... It's really, really getting fine-lined. And the second thing is when you look at the number of actors who actually won awards that are black, the ratio compared to the white it completely mirrors the population ratio of 10-11%, whatever it is nowadays, black and white. So why shift into one preferentially versus the other just because of the color of your skin? I don't understand that.
I think we call that racism, Gianni. Anyhow.
That is right.
That's right. Thank you for checking in. I got a chance for one more phone call here. David online in Grand Rapids. David, welcome to it.
Right. How many whites have won the BET Awards? Two, as you finished, racism is taught. And that's the question should have been asked.
What's being taught?
Because,
yeah.
What's being taught? You're teaching racism instead of trying to build unity. And, it's her judgment, and she's forcing her judgment on you and the way she wants it to be judged, not on a basis of you know, anything else. And it's quite irritating, and Obama's done what he said.
Well, there's a lot
to transform this country.
Radically transform. David, I greatly appreciate the call. I did have a couple of folks send me messages here saying, hey, you've got a lot of patience. How did you put up with that? Why would you let her go on like that? Listen, I think it's important to hear voices like that. People that think Abraham Lincoln, first of all, that he lived 400 years ago and owned slaves, that's important to know. The fact that she thinks the country's 176 years old probably doesn't know when the Declaration of Independence was signed or where. But wants to be a political commentator in America on the problems we have. The problem we have at many levels is education, like David pointed out. Good education and bad. Think about that for the rest of the day. We'll talk tomorrow on The Steve Gruber Show.